And we're back here on Y'all for a Thursday edition. Hope you all are doing great. The weekend is just around the corner, and we've got a couple of hours of breaking it all down, getting your Thursday set up with news and some sports information. And got our Mr. Pigskin Prognosticator himself, Kiefer Ingles, dropping back by here in just a few minutes to help us get ready for another weekend of college football and the big games, and perhaps even where to put your dineros toward when we have Kiefer join us in just a few minutes. We also have here in this opening hour of the Y'all Show some hashtag hullabaloo, a look at some social media fun, and then we've got plenty of news headlines to cover today. Included in that is the recap of Wednesday's presidential debate that was held out at the Reagan Library in Simi Valley, California. We've got people now weighing in, the pundits weighing in here on this Thursday about how the debate went. And just a little heads up, I don't think it went all that well. I think it was, if that's a word, it was, We'll break it all down. We'll get your reaction. What'd you think of it? Let us know here at the Y'all Show. Also, we've got an update from D.C. about the potential government shutdown. House Speaker McCarthy is kind of going back to square one on trying to solve this problem before October 1st arrives. Also, we'll give you the updated stories out of the state of Texas. A man has pleaded guilty to smuggling-related charges, all about the deaths of 53 migrants in a tractor trailer. That happened some time back, but now a man pleading guilty to that will explain. And speaking of Texas and criminals, that's where you'll find right now, the state of Texas, Travis King. That's the guy who ran across the border into North Korea, and they have expelled him for whatever reason. The 23-year-old Army soldier is in Texas right now. A slight difference than being in North Korea. We'll give you the stories there. NOAA has released its 2023-2024 winter predictions, and we'll find out what's going on in the southeast over the next couple of months as old man winter arrives. Is it going to be a rough one here in Dixie between now and, let's say, April? Let's hope not. Zillow has released its residential real estate values, and we'll tell you all about that, how the U.S. housing market's going to fare or how it's doing. That's coming up in our business look at some headlines here today. Heinz, the ketchup company, has announced a new Taylor Swift condiment called Ketchup and Seemingly Ranch. And what in the world does that have to do with Taylor Swift? Well, we'll find out. We'll give you the story. It's got something to do with an NFL franchise. That's coming up in our headlines today. Plus, out of the state of Arkansas, we love telling you about alligators. We've told you about record-setting alligators in the states of Florida and Mississippi. The natural state is now closing its record-setting alligator season. We'll give you the latest out of Arkansas and how big the gators are south of Little Rock. All that is coming up in our headlines. And speaking of the outdoors, if you're able to go to Knoxville, Tennessee this week, don't be surprised if you see a guy that you might see and say, man, that looks like the Duck Dynasty guy. Well, sure enough, the Duck Dynasty guys and gals are going to be in Knoxville this week, as Phil Robertson and others, even Uncle Si, will be in East Tennessee for the premiere of a new, what is it they're premiering? A movie. The Duck Dynasty people involved in a movie, and I'm going to tell you about The Blind, and it's having its premiere Friday in Knoxville, of all places. And so we'll tell you about that and more in our headlines across the southeast today. So, yeah, Uncle Si, if you've seen that show, there's very few people that would confuse him with anyone else, and he's going to be out of his usual Louisiana, and he'll be in the eastern section of that great state of Tennessee this week. More information on that. Speaking of eastern Tennessee, that is where Dolly Parton grew up. And now there's a certain college team that plays football in that section of Tennessee. And Dolly is releasing a Tennessee Vols themed version of her rock star album And in that Tennessee Vols theme version of the new rock album she's got called Rockstar, she's got a live version of Rocky Top coming from Dolly Parton. This may be the new number one song in Tennessee, at least. We'll explain. Maybe I could even pull up a copy of it and play it for all you Vol fans. And some of you, I mean, I remember Rocky Top when it was originally put out to country radio in the 1970s. And it, at that time, had no, to my knowledge, no connection to the Big Orange. And in fact, I'm having to pull out my cheat sheet here as I'm having a junior moment of who actually put that song out to radio. And I know so because as a youngster, it was Lynn Anderson. That's right, Lynn Anderson. She went to number 17 on the country charts with Rocky Top back in 1970. Of course, the Osbournes made that song quite famous. But Lynn Anderson's version was a somewhat of a country hit. And my first cousin, who as a youngster liked to sing a lot, she's still singing some decades later. I remember her singing that. In fact, that was her nickname, Rocky Top Rhonda, for a long time. And she didn't like the Tennessee Vols then, and she sure as heck doesn't like them now. In fact, she really doesn't like them this week because her favorite team is suiting up and playing in Knoxville against the Vols this weekend. So for Rocky Top Rhonda's sake, I'll say here, go Cox. So we got those news headlines coming to you today on the Y'all Show. Plus, we've got, as we said, Kiefer Ingles talking a little college football. I wonder who he's got in that Tennessee-South Carolina matchup here at Neyland Stadium this weekend. Plus, a bunch of other good college games going on this weekend. We'll tell you all about it here in a few minutes. And in hour two today, in addition to news headlines, we've got our country music news and notes, some Garth and Trisha news, plus Bruce Springsteen announcing that he's not going to be performing anymore for the rest of the year. What's going on with Boss? Isn't that his nickname? The Boss, perhaps? That's coming up in our entertainment news and Nashville music report of hour two. In our second hour today, food is on our mind, and we've got a great article that we found, and we'll be sharing with it. It comes from tasteatlas.com. And it's all about where to eat the best hush puppy in the world. And there's about 10 or so restaurants here in the South that, according to this website, you got to go eat. Because it's where to eat the best hush puppy in the world. Is your favorite seafood place listed here? And it might be Captain D's. And I've got a personal story about Captain D's and their hush puppies when we get to that section of the Y'all Show at hour two, or some of you call it Captain Disease. We'll have all that information in hour two. Hush puppies on our mind, and I'm not talking about the ones you put on your feet. Nope, the one that come on a nice platter of shrimp or catfish or whatever. Love our hush puppies here in Dixie, don't we? Final hour today, if you hang around, and we sure hope you do, we've got headlines, plus we've got our very special Festive South feature. We've got festivals going on all over the place this weekend. It is a great weekend as we turn the calendar to the month of October to get out and be festive in Dixie. This weekend, let me give you a little heads up of some of the great festivals going on in the 16 southern states that you might want to try to hit up while you're able to. We've got a molasses festival going on this weekend. We have the famous okra strut this very weekend in the southeast. We also have a muscadine festival. We'll tell you all about these festivals. Plus, how about the pecan festival? Some of you may call it pecan, pecan pecan. It's going on. And we also have a sorghum festival. And in New Orleans, a fried chicken festival. We will tell you the details. We'll tell you more of the locations on some of these places and the history. It's going to be a fun time in hour three when we break all these great festivals going on this very weekend across the Southeast. We have that plus a look at what's up at y'all.com in our final hour of today's program about the South. We shake up things across the South each and every day here on the Y'all Show. You can join our program. We've got a text line that's available to you 24/7, and that number is 615-208-4184. And then if email is your preferred way to communicate with us, we welcome all emails here at the Y'all Show. And the way to get us via email is to reach us at mailmail@yall.com. mail@yall.com. Would love to hear from you. It doesn't matter what time of day that you send that to us. In fact, let me remind you that we love our people who catch us each and every day on our fantastic radio stations, but we really also want to let you know that you can find us here at the Y'all Show in podcast form, as we are available on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn app, plus Apple iTunes and Apple Podcast. So please check us out in all those ways. And another reminder that you can find the Y'all Show in its lineup of podcast options at y'all.com, the South's homepage. Check us out. We're right there. More than 640 or 50 episodes now that we've done of this show. And you can listen to every single one of them by going to y'all.com or any of those podcast options. We were talking about that pecan festival in the state of Mississippi this weekend. And we've already got a text coming in. So I appreciate the feedback that we're getting here on today's Y'all Show. Texter says, pecan is what old folks use. You know what? Since this festival is in Mississippi this weekend, I'm not even going to fight it. And I appreciate the text. I've lived in Mississippi a long time, and I'm the outsider when I go and say the word pecan. So just as a gesture of humanity for the state of Mississippi, I'm going to just go ahead and call this festival going on in that state this weekend the Pecan Festival. Not even going to cause a problem, okay? And Texter, you could be right. A pecan, P-E-E-C-A-N, is what old folks use. All right, we're not going to have that battle today. I will yield to the state of Mississippi. In fact, let me give you a heads up in case I'm sitting here building this festival up this weekend. You might want to go ahead and book it. It's going to be this weekend in Beaumont, Mississippi, at Fulmer's General Store, the Mississippi Pecan Festival. All right. And have you ever heard of Beaumont? You know what? As a longtime resident of the great state and the great hospitality state of Mississippi, I had never heard of Beaumont, Mississippi. So I had to go look it up. And when we get to our festival lineup later in the show, I'm going to tell you more about Beaumont. Population 951. I'll tell you where it's located in the state of Mississippi, and perhaps even some of their most famous residents that have come out of the home of the Mississippi Pecan Festival. See, that's the kind of stuff you get on this show. And, oh, I better tell you, also coming up in today's Y'all Show in Pinson, Alabama this weekend, it's the Alabama Butterbean Festival. So plenty of great festivals going on, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag or the pea out of the can. Just stay tuned and we'll get to all of it. Why don't we get on to some of the headlines today before Kiefer joins us in a few minutes to talk a little college football. So we start out today with an update on Wednesday's presidential debate that happened at the Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California. Seven Republican hopefuls on stage. Donald Trump decided to skip his second opportunity to be in a Republican presidential debate. Instead, he was in Michigan speaking to striking UAW workers and more. So seven hopefuls on stage on this Fox television event. And today, kind of listening to some of the talking heads, getting the reaction of the experts or so-called experts, as well as the common people like myself who are weighing in. And the general consensus is this was a made-for-TV event. It didn't really push the discussion to anything serious. And if anybody came out on top, it looks like Ron DeSantis did a good job for himself trying to save his campaign to try to be the Republican nominee. He did good, according to just about everybody I heard discuss this thing. The former governor of South Carolina, Haley, did okay. But the rest of them, according to what most of the talking heads are saying, did not do great, didn't land any punches, were a waste of time. Why are they even in this election? Some of the worst comments I heard were directed toward former Vice President Mike Pence. Mike Pence is, like Trump would say about the New York Times, the failing New York Times. Mike Pence has a failing campaign. It looks like Tim Scott, the senator of South Carolina, has a failing campaign. He's not, I mean, the big topic I heard about him from Wednesday's Republican presidential debate was that he's got a goatee now. In fact, he even made a comment to CNN about his pecan, because I'm going to say it like they say in South Carolina, his pecan skin tone. Okay, so he's no longer a black guy, he's a pecan guy, according to what he said. And who else was irrelevant? I guess Chris Christie was irrelevant, although he did call President Donald Trump Donald Duck in this Republican debate. I think a lot of people, their minds were not changed. I guess one of the big storyline here is the winner of the first debate, in my opinion, was Vivek Ramaswamy, and he didn't have the kind of pizzazz in the second one. As some people said, the real winner of Wednesday's Fox Television second Republican debate was Donald Trump. He wasn't there. He continues to be the leader by far. And I think he's continuing to make the right decision by sitting out. What do you think? Let us know here at the Y'all Show what you thought of Wednesday's Republican presidential debate. It seems to still be trending in the direction of one Donald J. Trump. It was interesting to see that the governor of California was there in the audience and spoke afterwards, Gavin Newsom. You have him there, but some of the key conservatives weren't even allowed there. Pretty bizarre, y'all. Okay, so back to Washington, D.C., and we've got a potential government shutdown about to happen. And House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is evidently starting back at square one, as he's asking hard right Republicans in the U.S. House to do what they have said they would never do, approve their own temporary House measure to keep the government open. Behind closed doors Wednesday, the House Speaker urged his unruly Republican majority to work together. If they don't figure this thing out and get Democrats to go along with the votes, there will be a government shutdown starting Sunday. So they're crunching numbers, trying to figure things out. But right now, still, if you had to go to Vegas and put money on it, I'd say a government shutdown is likely at this point. But maybe they'll get it figured out. Now, to Texas, a man has pleaded guilty to smuggling-related charges all over the deaths of 53 migrants in a tractor trailer. Y'all might remember this story from some time back. But this man, one of six charged, who died in 2022, these 53 migrants died in a sweltering tractor trailer truck in South Texas. And now 29-year-old Christian Martinez is the first to be convicted for the government's case over this tragedy that happened in San Antonio, where the truck was found on a back road in June of 2022. The dead included eight children who were riding inside the trailer that had no air conditioning in that Texas heat wave that was going on there. But a terrible story when this happened in 2022. 53 migrants found dead as they have tried to come into the country illegally, and now at least one man pleading guilty to their deaths in the state of Texas. Also in Texas today, that is where you'll find Travis King. Travis King is the U.S. Army soldier who snuck across the DMZ into North Korea after he was having some issues with the United States military and following orders, evidently. And even North Korea couldn't put up with this guy, and the private expelled by North Korea. He is in San Antonio, and he is right now being held at the Brooke Army Medical Center there, and probably going to have some time in prison for a while. You don't just abandon your post, and you sure don't abandon your post and go to North Korea, where we can't even put him in the POW category. We're not sure exactly what the future is for this Army soldier who is going to be probably Leavenworth bound at some point. We've got more headlines coming in from across the Southeast that we'll get to as we go forward. Included in those headlines today, NOAA has released its 2023-2024 winter predictions. How tough is it going to be here in Dixie? I'll give you that. Plus, we'll give you a new story about the value of residential real estate. It broke a record. I'll tell you what that record was. Plus, Again, Duck Dynasty guys in East Tennessee, Dolly Parton with her own version of Rocky Top. All those headlines coming up on today's Y'all Show. When we come back, Kiefer Ingles is going to join us, and we're going to talk a little college football. It's another big weekend out there on the gridiron. And Mr. Pigskin Prognosticator himself, Kiefer, will be here to set the stage and tell us maybe where we want to put a few of our pizza money for this weekend. All that is coming right up as the Y'all Show Thursday edition rolls on, y'all. Fight song of one of the powerhouses of 2023's college football season. Kiefer Ingles back with us here on the show that shakes up the Southland. We are the Y'all Show, going to get you ready for this weekend of college football in this segment here as we break it all down with Kiefer. Welcome back, Mr. Kiefer.
Thanks for having me. Top of the morning to you.
Top of the day to you, sir. And that fight song, do you know which one that is?
I do not.
That is the Duke Blue Devils, okay. The powerhouses of college football this year. And they got a big game this weekend.
I think you meant to say basketball.
No, football. They're undefeated.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing quite well.
Yep.
They've got a good coach. In fact, their coach, the reigning ACC coach of the year.
Yep. He's got that team turned around, and they're looking good, man.
And they got a big game this weekend. Tell us about it.
Very big. So they got Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, coming up to Durham, man, and they're going to look real good. I mean, it's going to be a good game, I feel. Notre Dame's coming off a loss versus Ohio State in a game where Notre Dame looked like the better team.
Do you know that I haven't really watched any college football this year?
Really?
I've intentionally stayed away from it. But because of you, and you said that was the game of the week last week with Ohio State and Notre Dame, I ended up watching the last the last second of that game.
You got to get finished then.
And what a second it was to watch.
Indeed.
Live.
Right, yeah, it was good. It was a great game to watch live.
But especially the last second.
Yeah, the last second.
If you weren't watching, Ohio State found a way to just get across the goal line. And what a thrilling, I mean, it was a perfect college football ending. Unfortunately for Irish fans, it goes down as an L to the awful Buckeyes, but the Irish trying to rebound this week, one of their five ACC games on their schedule.
Right, and they've got a tough one this week. Duke's looked great. Of course, they beat Clemson. They've got a good team. It's going to be a challenge for the Irish, for sure.
And Wallace Wade Stadium is the setting for that one. Where's your pizza money on that one?
I mean, the line is Notre Dame minus six. I don't know what you take there. I have no idea. I'm lost.
Okay. Tobacco Road is a pretty good place to watch college football these days. UNC remains undefeated.
Somehow.
Who do they have this week? Do you know?
I do not know.
All right, we'll pull that one up. Who else are you watching this week in a big way, Kiefer Ingles?
So we've got a really good Friday night game this week. Utah, number 10, versus number 19, Oregon State. Oregon State is coming off a loss this past week. They played Washington State, but Washington State's looking, I mean, that was a 38-35 game.
Who won that one?
Washington State over Oregon State.
Wazzy?
So the big question mark here with this Utah-Oregon State game is Cam Rising, Utah's star quarterback, going to be playing? There's been almost no info provided about this injury. He got injured last year towards the end of the season, and mum's the word on what's going on with him. When's he going to come back? What's going on? So the line's kind of inflated every single week for Utah because he's a game-time decision every week. And if he doesn't play in this game, I see Oregon State winning a pretty good game there.
Now, Cam Rising name sounds familiar. Is that because he is one of your famous transfers, or has he been at the Utah?
No, he's been at Utah, and he's been lighting it up. He lit it up last year, and he's had some kind of leg injury, and it mum's the word. I mean, it's been very hush hush about that injury. I'm not really sure how that's even allowed to be a thing, but no one's talking about it. It makes no sense. He's one of the better quarterbacks in the country.
All right, Cam Rising is his name. And they've got a backup I saw something the other day because there's someone from a town that I'm pretty close to who has a freshman on that Utah quarterback roster, and they've got about five quarterbacks.
And none of them are very good. I mean,
really?
Right now, at least. I mean, the freshman probably hadn't seen game time yet, but the guy that's seen the most time, Nate Johnson, I mean, he's thrown, you know, 50 passes, 400 yards, and two touchdowns, but, you know, their defense has kept them in all the games this year.
Talking with Kiefer Ingles, who is pretty good at this sports thing. In fact, I'm impressed. You want to let me give you an example of why you're pretty impressive?
Sure.
So I stumped you here a second ago. I said, who's North Carolina playing this weekend? And you didn't know.
I didn't know.
You know why?
Why?
Because they're not playing.
Oh.
They got an open week.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I was like, I don't know, man. I haven't seen the Heels on anything.
Yeah, the UNC Tar Heels are off this weekend, so that's why you didn't know who they were playing.
You should have seen me scramble. I flipped my schedule to ACC to look, and I didn't see them there either, so I didn't know what was going on.
One of the things I did, just because I couldn't believe this is really happening this past weekend for about 5 seconds, more than watching the Ohio State Notre Dame game, I tuned in Saturday afternoon and watched the CW Network.
Oh, yeah?
Because they have ACC games
they do.
Out there. And they had the Georgia Tech-Wake Forest game. A big win for the Jackets, by the way, last week.
Indeed.
This week, the CW Network has the UVA Cavaliers at Boston College. UVA struggling.
Man, Boston College may be... Before the Florida State game, I was going to say they were one of the worst teams in the FBS. But after the Florida State, I mean, I don't know if Florida State played down to them, but they are not good, Boston College.
Have you seen Virginia?
They are also not good.
Yeah, yeah. So we're probably not going to be spending a lot of time on that one. What else you got, sir?
I mean, USC, Colorado, I mean, I could see that going a lot the same way that the Oregon-Colorado game went. Oregon absolutely blew their doors off this past weekend, and USC, I mean...
Is Oregon that good, or is Colorado just not really that good?
I think...
Not really that good.
I think it's a mixture of both. I think Oregon's got everything in line like they've been trying to get for the past couple of years. They're going to be rocking and rolling
like
the rest of the
coach.
Year.
I like that coach.
Yeah, he's good.
I love his quote before that game where he said, we're not here to get clicks.
Yeah.
We're here to get what wins.
Right. And then after the game, though, you know, a little hypocritical press conference on Wednesday, I guess yesterday, he was talking about how this is the most impressions that they've had across all their social media accounts, like how great of a week, how much money how great the ratings were, and it's like, all right, dude, like, if you're going to talk a little smack about it, don't be excited when it works. It's just crazy to me. But they're going to get blown out by USC. I don't know if USC's defense is as good as Oregon's, but their offense is just going to take this game away, I fear.
All right. That's what Kiefer Ingles has for that particular game. Now, let's focus on the South, if you don't mind.
Let's focus on the South. You know, Georgia's got Auburn this week. They're going over to Jordan-Hare.
Deep South's oldest rivalry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In September, which is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Yeah, push it back.
There's a lot of great rivalry games that are happening this weekend that should be
later.
Way later. Way on in the season.
But Georgia-Auburn, Georgia's favored by 14.5 points. Auburn has not looked very great at all, while Georgia also hasn't. I mean, I just don't know if Auburn can stay within 15 points of the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, Auburn could hardly move the ball versus Texas A&M, a team that we saw Miami score 45 points against. So I don't think Auburn's got very much of a chance here at all.
Were you surprised by A&M's big victory over Auburn last week?
I was, mostly because A&M's starting quarterback for the third year in a row has gone down, and they're panicking like crazy down there.
Shades of the famous game that Alabama played way back in like the 1950s, where a player ran down a guy going into the end zone to tackle him. A guy came off the sideline.
Oh, yeah?
In the Cotton Bowl, I believe, is when that game was. And the guy said he did it just because he had too much Bama in him. And in that tradition, last week, I didn't see the whole play, but evidently Jimbo Fisher.
He was out on the field in an interception return.
Yeah.
He was probably a good 4 or 5 yards out on the field.
And what happened? Did the guy end up getting the touchdown?
I'm not sure exactly what the result of that play was.
Okay, but I saw that.
I tuned off that game pretty
quickly. And it reminded
me
of that famous Alabama deal where the guy said he had too much Bama in him. Have you got too much Bama in you?
I've got no Bama in me.
Speaking of Bama, nice win by them last week. Has Bama fixed their problems?
I don't know if they've fixed it totally. The defense has played incredible in all the games they've played other than Texas, and that just could be a testament on how good Texas's offense is. But that defense hasn't let up really in any game this season. I don't really expect that to change for this week. You know, Mississippi State got cut up by LSU, and I can see this being the week that Alabama gets everything offensively, at least.
Last weekend at Williams-Brice Stadium, Mississippi State's Mr. Quarterback there, Will Rogers, Follies, he had one heck of a night statistically for the Bullies. but they still lost to the Gamecocks. So what's going on with MSU that they can put up that many yards and still lose to a average South Carolina game?
I don't know, man. I think Zach Arnett's got the Mississippi State team heading in the wrong direction. I mean, their offense just does not have the firepower that it had last year. And I know that changing over from the air raid offense into a more balanced attack with the run as well is going to have that effect. But they just hadn't been able to get the job done this year. They're not finding the end zone like they should be and like they were last year. Mm-hmm. And average is not how I'd describe the South Carolina team either. They've looked great this season other than the North Carolina game where they got – Spencer Rattler got sacked 9 times. They've got a big game this weekend against Tennessee. And this is a worse Tennessee Vols team than last year and a better South Carolina team than last year. So
worst Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee fans have pretty big expectations this year. The Vols, number 21 in the country.
Oh, yeah. But they just lost to Florida. They lost to Florida. They struggled against Austin Peay. I mean, we'll see.
So
they struggled against UTSA as well.
Have a pretty good chance in this one?
Oh, they're live, yeah. The line on that game, Tennessee minus 12.5. I mean, that's huge.
I think the last time the Gamecocks went into Neyland Stadium, they got their you-know-what's blown out.
Yeah.
2 years
ago. Hey, last year, I mean, South Carolina scored 63 on them.
Yeah, well, they returned the favor last year in Columbia. Elsewhere in the SEC, Vanderbilt's got Mizzou coming into First Bank Stadium, and Kentucky and Florida get together at Kroger Field.
Good old Kroger.
And then the other game is the University of Mississippi hosting LSU. This is a top 20 battle going on in the SEC.
Yeah, it's a top 20 battle. If Ole Miss plays like they did last week, I mean, the line here is LSU minus 2.5. And there's going to be some life savings put on that LSU total right there. I mean, Ole Miss looked horrible last week. Offensively, defensively, they look pretty good in the first half. But second half, of course, they're going to wear down. I just don't see LSU having that much trouble with the Rebels this week.
Now, Lane Kiffin, after that loss at Bama last week, put out on social media the famous image of referees walking around a gridiron with their blind glasses on, insinuating that the referees didn't do his team much of a favor at Bryant-Denny Stadium.
I mean, I don't know if they did any favors or caused any problems or anything, but when your offense can't complete a pass more than 10 yards, that's what's not doing you any favors.
Maybe you should find an emoji.
Or maybe running the ball, you know.
Of Jackson Dart incomplete passes.
Hey, you wouldn't have to look very hard to find that one.
Okay. All right, let's talk a little ACC for a moment. First of all, there's a Friday night battle between NC State and Louisville going down in Raleigh. That's on ESPN Friday night. Saturday, Syracuse. They struggled against Army West Point last week, but they got the victory there in Syracuse. And they welcome in the Clemson Tigers this weekend. Georgia Tech's got Bowling Green, Virginia Tech, and Pitt at Lane Stadium this weekend. Not exactly the most thrilling lineup, other than that Duke-Notre Dame game.
Right. Duke-Notre Dame obviously is going to be the flagship game of that ACC schedule. But Louisville-NC State, that's poised to be a pretty good game. NC State, you know, their defense and the way they run their offense, a lot of their games are kind of snooze fests. But Louisville's been playing great this year. I could see them overpowering NC State a pretty good bit. Also, Clemson-Syracuse. Syracuse has looked pretty decent this year, while obviously Clemson hasn't looked that great. I mean, Syracuse is live here.
One thing, I've got a lot of connections to Dabo Swinney's team, and they're standing. Do you realize what Dabo Swinney's doing different than just about every other college football program?
He took the least amount of transfers in the entire country.
Go. Yeah, and he's catching a lot of grief right now from Clemson fans.
He should.
Really?
Oh, yeah. What an idiot.
Okay. Tell me what you really feel. The Jayhawks going to be back at DKR Texas Memorial Stadium. The last time Kansas was playing Texas on the 40 acres, they came out victorious. What do you think about this year? Kansas, by the way, number 24 in the country.
Yeah, and Kansas looks good. Their offense is putting up points. Now, they just beat BYU this past weekend. BYU had just come off a victory versus Arkansas. Texas, though, I mean, they're blowing their opponents out. They're beating everybody like they should be. They beat Baylor by 32 points last week, and I think their line was like 13 or 17 or something along those lines. But this week, I mean, Kansas looks pretty dang good. It's 16.5 in favor of the Longhorns again this week.
And 16.5?
That's a lot of points, man. This Kansas offense is putting up some numbers. So, well, I don't know if – I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the right call is, but this has got game of the week potential.
If you
want to
see a great college game, rewind back to – 2 years ago, go on YouTube and find that dramatic
Kansas upset, baby.
Kansas upset and the way they did it there in extra periods. KU and UT Austin this weekend. Elsewhere in the Big 12, Texas Tech has Houston. UCF has the Baylor Bears coming into Orlando for a game. OU and Iowa State get together. And Norman and TCU and WVU battle at Amon Carter Stadium in Fort Worth, Texas. Let's talk a little bit about the American Conference for a second. As this weekend on the gridiron, you got Tulane and UAB getting together. Did you see Trent Dilfer's team in Athens last week?
I did not. How'd they look?
They looked great in the first half. You know, he's the first-year coach of UAB.
Right.
And they were playing the Georgia Bulldogs, yep. And I thought they did pretty darn good for the first half, at least.
What was the score in the first half of that game?
It was...
Let me look. I got it right
here. Heck, it was tied for some of that first half.
Yeah, I mean, 49-21... That's respectable. The spread was 48.5 on that game. So, I mean, Georgia is literally the worst team in college football against the spread. They're 0-4 against the spread.
How about Trent Dilfer going from a Nashville area high school to being an American Conference head football coach?
Only a matter of time, man. He's one of those guys that you're going to see move up the ranks quite
Yep.
swiftly,
South Florida and Navy get together this weekend. How about the Broncos from Boise? They're going to be playing the Memphis Tigers in Memphis this weekend. Rice, a surprising team. They've got ECU coming into Houston this weekend.
Rice, one of the most prolific transfer quarterbacks in the country. Old JT Daniels. I don't know if you remember him. Former USC, former West Virginia, former Georgia quarterback. He's been everywhere.
SMU and the Charlotte 49ers on the gridiron this weekend. CUSA battles this weekend include on a Thursday night game. I get emotional when I talk about those Blue Raiders. MTSU will be in Bowling Green taking on Western Kentucky on a Thursday night game. And then the Bearcats of Sam Houston have the Gamecocks of Jacksonville State in a Thursday contest. Friday, UTEP and Louisiana Tech get together in CUSA. And, hey, while we have just a second, let's talk a little bit about the Southern Conference, if you don't mind.
Let's do it.
ETSU at Samford this weekend. The very surprising Western Carolina Catamounts.
They're doing
very good.
They are.
They should have no problem in Charleston taking on the Citadel. VMI and Mercer get together at that game in Macon. And then the Terriers of Wofford, a surprising team with their collapse. They've been awful lately. And the Chattanooga Mocs go into Spartanburg for that one.
The Terriers.
Yep, Terriers not terrorizing too many people right now. And then in the SWAC. Let's talk about the SWAC this weekend.
Swag.
Southern and UAPB get together. Alcorn State and Alabama State play in Montgomery this weekend. And then the Rattlers go all the way to Itabena. It's Florida A&M and Mississippi Valley State, while Grambling and Prairie View A&M play at the old Cotton Bowl in Dallas.
Love it, man. Hey, playing at the Cotton Bowl, that's sweet.
I bet you they'll have as many people there as what you'll have for the Red River Shootout here in a couple of days. But that's a look at various college football games. The game that we all have to watch this weekend, Kiefer Ingles.
Notre Dame Duke. It's going to be a great one.
All right. That's how we started
this segment. Back-to-back Notre Dame game of the weeks.
All right. Kiefer, thank you so much.
Thank you, my man.
Always have a fun time talking college football with you. We'll come back and wrap up hour one after this break. Song from 1988 for his tinnitus, T. Graham Brown, out of the Athens, Georgia area, is where Mr. Brown came from when he hit Music City, USA. Going to wrap up Hour 1 today with a little hashtag hullabaloo. This is where we find things on social media. Our people send stuff to us, and we share it with all y'all. And Running EB has an X account, at Running EB. And Running EB writes, every year during tornado season, husband has to reteach me watch and warning. I'm truly not a Southerner. Turns out I just needed to hear it in my native tongue. Hashtag Maine for life. Hashtag the way life should be. So you're telling me there, Running EB, that in the state of Maine, which I hear is a nice place and a beautiful place, I'm hearing that you must not have a whole lot of tornado sirens going off in that section of New England. Evidently not. And your husband here in the South has to reteach you each year during tornado season what it's like to be in the home of tornadoes. And that would be just about everywhere else in the South. I don't know that they have tornadoes that often in downtown Los Angeles, but they got them out West. They've got them. Heck, I think I remember hearing recently there was a tornado in the United Kingdom somewhere. And just be careful out there. That's one thing I have nightmares about, and I bet you a lot of you do too, is running up against a tornado. Not exactly a lot of fun. And we sure have our problems with them here in the South, and boy, have they unfortunately claimed way too many lives and caused so much grief and many billions of dollars of destruction in their presence here in the Southeast. But I appreciate you bringing that up. And, you know, Maine, just like the Atlantic provinces of Canada here recently, has had a problem with those hurricanes that have turned into tropical storms and have hit that area. In fact, maybe because of those particular weather disturbances, they might have had even a tornado outbreak in the state of Maine here lately. I'm not sure. I don't really study up on New England weather patterns all that often. But Running EB, we appreciate the feedback here on social media that we called hashtag hullabaloo. And that wraps up hour number one of our Y'all Show. When we come back in hour two, we've got headlines from across the Southeast. Speaking of weather, I'm going to tell you just how rough the winter's going to be in the Southeast. Noah's got some predictions. We'll tell you about that. Plus, we've got food and more coming up as we'll tell you where to eat the best hush puppies in all of the country. That's headed your way, hour two, plus entertainment news. Stay tuned. With our little fun time we call the Y'all Show. Good to have you back here on a Thursday edition. It's hour number two of our program about the South, available in podcast form on Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, and Apple iTunes, and at y'all.com. We've got a busy second hour. Glad that you could take time to join us here on Y'all. We've got headlines, more reaction from Wednesday's Republican presidential debate. We've got some clips from the Fox debate on Wednesday that we'll play in just a moment on our show. And then we've got other headlines coming in. In fact, we're going to turn our attention to weather as we roll on this Thursday edition. NOAA has released its winter predictions, and how rough is it going to be? I'll explain. Plus, Heinz Ketchup announcing a Taylor Swift condiment. What in the world is that all about? Swifties, pay attention. We're going to tell you about that news in this second hour. We also have country music news and notes, plus information on Bruce Springsteen, all coming up in a few minutes of this second hour. And before this hour is up, we will have some food talk as the website tasteatlas.com has published the article, Where to Eat the Best Hush Puppy in the World. So if you like hush puppies, you better pay attention when we get to that later this hour. In our final hour, we still have plenty of good stuff coming that way. So hang on for not only this hour, but hour three today. We've got a look at a bunch of festivals from sorghum to okra to we even have a fried chicken festival going down this weekend. And we'll tell you all the details when we get to that section of the Y'all Show in hour number three. To join us here, you can text us anytime, 615-208-4184. You also can drop an email our way, mail@y'all.com. Would love to hear from you here. Diving into the news headlines of the day here on this Thursday edition. So politically, we've got the government shutdown looming and Kevin McCarthy right now trying to figure out a way to perhaps get something temporarily passed. Looking for a continuing resolution option is what Kevin McCarthy is doing. In fact, he claims that they're going to go back to square one, as he's asking hard right Republicans to do what they said they would never do, approve a temporary House measure to keep the government open. Right now, Congress going to evidently shut down October 1st, and that's going to really put a squeeze on our military and all of our government agencies and our workers and more. And to avoid that, there may be a CR that somehow gets through in the final moments before October 1st arrives. So we'll keep our eye and see if they can't come with some kind of solution. In fact, President Joe Biden was in San Francisco Wednesday. I don't know, he traveled out there. Oddly enough, that's where the state of California, where you had the Republican presidential debate Wednesday, but at a fundraiser in San Francisco, Joe Biden, talking about the California U.S. House Speaker McCarthy, said, I think that the speaker is making a choice between his speakership and American interest. Strong words coming in for the president. We'll keep our eye on D.C. and see if they can't come up with some kind of solution, as the clock is ticking and it's about to run out if they're going to try to solve this before October 1st. Now, back in California, as mentioned, in Simi Valley is where the Republicans running for president minus Donald Trump found themselves at the Reagan Presidential Library. It was the second presidential debate for Republicans, and you had seven contenders on stage: Chris Christie, Vivek Ramaswamy, Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, Governor Burgum of North Dakota. You had Ron DeSantis and Tim Scott, and that might be all. There were seven of them up there, and they had, in my opinion, an average night. Now, I've got clips that I'm going to play from the debate from Fox Business is where we will go, and you listen to this for about a minute and a half or 2 minutes, and you tell me what you think of how these guys and the gal, in Haley's case, performed during this second Republican presidential debate that happened Wednesday. We'll come back and discuss. If you would like to text us your thoughts on how it all went down, then feel free to do that. But let's go in and hear a little sample of Wednesday's second Republican presidential debate and the junior senator from the Palmetto State, Mr. Scott, is at the microphone first.
Joe Biden should not be on the picket line. He should be on the southern border working to close our southern border because it is unsafe, wide open, and insecure.
Look, I do disagree with something Tim Scott just said. Joe Biden doesn't belong on a picket line. He belongs on the unemployment line. As president of the United States, I'll be standing with workers all across America, and I'll be standing for the right to work of every American to join a union or not join a union as they decide.
If the government shuts down, should voters blame populist Republicans?
Voters should blame everybody who's in Washington, D.C.
Where's Joe Biden? He's completely missing in action from leadership. And you know who else is missing in action? Donald Trump is missing in action. He should be on this stage tonight. He owes it to you to defend his record where they added $7.8 trillion to the debt.
And I want to look in that camera right now and tell you, Donald, I know you're watching. You can't help yourself. I know you're watching, okay? And you're not here tonight not because of polls and not because of your indictments. You're not here tonight because you're afraid of being on the stage and defending your record. You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
You have said slaves develop skills in spite of slavery, not because of it. But many are still hurt. For descendants of slaves, this is personal. What is your message to them?
So first of all, that's a hoax that was perpetrated by Kamala Harris. We are not going to be doing that. Second of all, that was written by descendants of slaves. These are great Black history scholars. So we need to stop playing these games.
There is not a redeeming quality in slavery. He and Kamala should have just taken the one sentence out.
I have a radical idea for the Republican Party. We need to win elections. And part of how we win elections is reaching the next generation of young Americans where they are. So when I get into office, I've been very clear. Kids under the age of under the age of 16 should not be using addictive social media.
This is infuriating because TikTok is one of the most dangerous social media apps that we could have. And what you've got, I honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say. You've gone and you've helped China make medicines in China, not America. You're now wanting kids to go and get on the social media that's dangerous for all of us. You went and you were in business with the Chinese that gave Hunter Biden $5 million. We can't trust you.
Polls don't elect presidents. Voters elect presidents. Right. And we're going to take the case of the people in these early states. We're going to do it in a state-by-state direction. And why? Because as Reagan said in his day, this is our time for choosing.
All right. That, again, some of the clips of the Wednesday second presidential debate on the Republican side, at least, that was held at Simi Valley in California at the Reagan Presidential Library. What do y'all think? One thing I noticed there, if you saw the video, Ron DeSantis had a little bit of a haircut. And I like it. He's kind of chopped off some of the thickness on the sides of his hair, and he doesn't look quite as, I don't know what he looks like. He looks more, he actually looks younger. But remember, this is a guy who's been a JAG in the Navy, a modern-day Tom Cruise, and he looks kind of militaristic. He looks like he's still a naval officer. I think he's officially out of the Navy Reserve, I think. And thank you for your service there, Lieutenant DeSantis, or whatever his rank is in the USN. And we appreciate him serving and all of our folks serving. In fact, if I look up on stage, as far as I know, he's the only one of those seven that have served the nation's military. And served in the Gulf War, I believe, in the United States Navy. But he looked good. How about Nikki Haley and Vivek Ramaswamy getting into a little bit of a heated debate there? Some people, I was watching some of the reaction from Iowa. They had a poll of people watching, and they were turned off by the anger, the vitriol that was coming from the second Republican presidential debate Wednesday. And in my opinion, this thing didn't make a big difference. Now, Chris Christie, you just heard him in that quote there, basically calling Donald Trump for ducking out on this debate in the first one too. I do like how Christie looked right at the camera and said, "Donald, I know you're watching because you can't help it." Chris Christie still got a lot of anger toward Trump because Trump didn't put him into the administration. Maybe looking back, that would have been a smart thing to do, because some of the other people that Trump Trump did a lot of great things, but I remember when he was campaigning, you have to go all the way back to 2016, he would always talk about he would get the greatest people into his administration. He always was pushing these great people. Oh, he could get anybody. Here's a name you probably haven't heard in 7 years. Trump would use this name almost every rally he would have. Carl Icahn, the great Carl Icahn. Check him out sometime. He would drop that in his speeches of where he was talking about how he would get the greatest people to come work with him in the White House. And you know what? That didn't really work out too good, his promise there. And that's a shame. It's still amazing what he was able to accomplish without having those great people that he promised would be there. He had some real real losers. I saw one of his losers on TV today recapping this presidential debate. That would be John Bolton, a Bush hangover that somehow Trump put into his administration for a time. And Bolton was not as angry at Trump today when I saw him being interviewed. He was angry at these seven Republicans up on stage. He felt like they were, to quote the great Sarah Palin, pussyfooting on Trump. They weren't really sticking it to Trump. They weren't sticking it to Biden. And until one of these, and in fact, in the words of Bolton, until one of these seven people running for president get serious, then they don't matter. And these debates do not matter, from John Bolton, a guy who's got his own questionable reputation for sure in Republican circles. It is odd that the guy that was loathed by the liberals and the Democrats for being a war hawk and being in that W administration and then finding himself working with Trump now, he's been a darling. He's been a darling of the media because he comes out and says horrible things about Donald J. Trump. He doesn't say that much bad about George W. Bush, who, reminder, helped lead us to a war that was completely unnecessary, and thousands of Americans lost their lives, and lives lost and treasure lost in Iraq for no reason. And that still makes no sense. And if you were like me back in 2003 and 2004, you were like, America, yeah, let's do it. Let's go get them. They got all these weapons of mass destruction. We can't have that. And it was all a lie. And dadgummit, if Bush has not gotten away with it, he and Cheney, have they not? I mean, they made fools of us. They made fools of our country, and they've cost thousands of lives, and they get away. Now, the only person who's really come after them is Donald J. Trump. He called out the Bushes on this, and that's why they hate him so much. That's why they absolutely hate him. And so conservatism is great, but you don't need to be having people like George W. Bush, after the fact, be proved that they started wars for no reason, no valid reason. It was, some people would say, a war started because his daddy got embarrassed by what happened in the original Gulf War of 1991. I don't know. Take that however you want. But, man, isn't politics a strange thing, y'all? More headlines across the Southeast today. We are almost to the month of October, which means we are squarely into fall. And now NOAA has come out with its winter predictions for the South, for the rest of the country. And so the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration putting about its forecast, and NOAA is forecasting above normal temperatures across the northern U.S. through the winter months. And as far as the southern half of the country, the temperature outlook for December, January, and February shows that there's an equal chance for temperatures to be normal, above normal, or below normal. That's a little surprising. Now, there's been this El Nino phenomena that's in the news. The last three winters have been dominated by La Nina, which typically means a dry winter in the southern half of the country. But this year, a strong El Nino looks like it's very likely to go throughout the early months of 2024. And that means a different type of winter, it looks like, for the South, as you're expecting to have a wetter than normal winter. And the precipitation outlook, that's December, January, February, going to be a lot wetter than normal in the states of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, North Carolina, and Virginia. It's going to be drier this winter compared to other winters in Kentucky and Tennessee and West Virginia. Those three states primarily will be drier than normal. All these forecasts from NOAA are not guaranteed, But the Tennessee River Valley, by the way, tends to run drier than normal from an El Nino standpoint. So keep that in mind when you're making your winter plans. Again, according to NOAA, it might be a little wetter than it has been, which could mean snowfall a little bit more than it has been in certain sections of the South if the temperatures dip down. But in the Tennessee River Valley, it could be drier and a little bit less snow. Still not, to my knowledge, hasn't been a big blizzard in most of the Southeast the last couple of years. And I'm perfectly fine with that. Now, y'all, we've had our little dustings and problems with, we had that awful cold streak right around Christmas last year, but still wasn't a blizzard. It was just minus zero, minus temperatures going on for 2 to 3 days there in the days of Christmas, the Yuletide, if you will. Zillow has released the value of residential real estate findings, and it broke a new record, $52 trillion. The total value of the U.S. housing market now is 49% higher than before the pandemic. New York, L.A., San Francisco, Boston, and Miami are the most valuable housing markets in the country, and the southern state of Florida now boasts the second most valuable real estate market, as they've jumped up and have surpassed New York, California. The housing market surging after that July 2022 housing hiccup. Higher mortgage rates then contributed to a decline in the total value of residential real estate, as potential buyers have reconsidered their plans and residential investment has fallen. So you've got the residential housing market moving on up across the country, and in the South, certainly Florida benefiting from that. So kudos if you're a Florida property owner. Heinz has announced a new Taylor Swift condiment called Ketchup and Seemingly Ranch. And Heinz is the latest to jump into this whole Travis, Kelce, Taylor Swift, I'm going to call it fake romance. I can't believe these two are actually an item. But Heinz is releasing a limited edition Ketchup and Seemingly Ranch sauce in celebration of both Taylor and Travis. Taylor on Sunday made an appearance at the Kansas City Chiefs Chicago Bears game. What she was eating was as popular as anything else was, apparently, according to a Taylor Swift fan account. Taylor ate chicken tenders, ketchup, and Seemingly Ranch. That's what this fan account described what Taylor was eating there. And now Heinz is cashing in with this combination of the two sauces, as they're producing 100 bottles of ketchup and Seemingly Ranch. This is a gimmick, y'all. Only 100 bottles of Heinz ketchup. My, have the mighty have fallen to the Swifties. And there's a pretty neat picture taken from up in the suite that I'm looking at here from Taylor Swift's Instagram account. It's called T Swift Eras Tour on social media. And it shows her in the booth up there at Arrowhead Stadium eating a piece of chicken with ketchup and Seemingly Ranch. So you can see that for yourself. And how, kudos to the social media folks. They seem to be capitalizing on this. In fact, update, breaking news here. This week, the Empire State Building in New York City has joined in on this craze of ketchup and Seemingly Ranch by lighting up the Empire State Building in red and white. And the Empire State Books officially, the Empire State Building's official social media accounts put a picture of this Empire State Building lit up at night in the red and white colors. And they even had the message, Ketchup and Seemingly Ranch. The power of Miss Swift. The power of an Arkansas alligator. That's our next story here as we go through headlines across the Southeast. So Arkansas has just wrapped up its alligator season, and in our nice journey into the alligators of the South. We love to tell you alligator stories. Hope you don't mind. According to the Arkansas Game and Fishing Commission, the 2023 alligator season resulted in a record-setting 202 gators harvested, and that's far more than the 174 record that was set back in 2020. So 202 gators are no longer roaming around the natural state. I'm looking for perhaps the biggest haul. Do they have that listed here on this story? Okay, here we go. An Arkansas wildlife spokesperson said the largest alligator harvested this year was 12 feet 11 inches. The largest gator ever harvested in the state of Arkansas, 13 feet 11 and a half inches, and that was taken in Dumas, Arkansas. So they got some big gators in Arkansas, which is nowhere near the Gulf of Mexico. Those things like to swim well inland. In Arkansas, you better look out. As they got some big ones in the natural state. And this year, it was a 12 feet 11 inch gator, one of the more than 200 harvested during the official alligator hunting season of the natural state of Arkansas. Hour three today, our headlines will continue. I'm going to give you some info on Duck Dynasty having a movie premiere in Knoxville. Plus, speaking of the state of Tennessee, its most famous daughter, Dolly Parton, is releasing a Tennessee Orange version of Rocky Top on her new rock album. At least she's got a version available for Tennessee fans. I'll give you all the juicy details when we have our news headlines of hour number three. But coming back from this break, we've got some entertainment news. We've got entertainment news about Bruce Springsteen, the boss, having to make some changes. We'll give you the latest on that. Plus, we'll also give you some Garth and Trisha news. Before the hour is up, Hush Puppies will be on our mind as we've been able to pull from the website tasteatlas.com an article called Where to Eat the Best Hush Puppy in the World and Yummy. I'll tell you all about it as we continue on with this Thursday Y'all Show. Springsteen bringing us back for break. We're the Y'all Show talking about all things Southern, and we'll let a Yankee slip in here from time to time with info about them. In fact, as we have our Nashville Music Line report, the boss on our minds, because Bruce Springsteen has just announced that he's canceling the shows that he's got scheduled for the rest of the year. He's canceling due to illness. The 74-year-old rock and roller putting out a statement on X, in which he said he's continuing to recover steadily from peptic ulcer disease over the past few weeks and will continue treatment through the rest of the year on doctor's advice. With this in mind, and out of abundance of caution, all remaining 2023 tour dates for Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band are going to be postponed until 2024. Doctor's orders, Bruce off the road. He's previously canceled several shows with the E Street Band. He did that last month and earlier here in the month of September. So if you had plans to see him, too bad. Another part of the statement said that when the 2024 dates are announced, those unable to attend on the new date who purchased their tickets through official ticketing companies have 30 days to request a refund. All tickets for postponed performances will remain valid for the newly announced date. So Bruce Springsteen having some health problems. He's got an issue right now with peptic ulcer disease and is having to cancel his concert going forward. Now, let me put on my best doctor's hat and let's dive in for a moment on peptic ulcer disease. Have y'all heard of that? I have not. So with my best, let me call in my good friend, Dr. Wikipedia here. Dr. Wikipedia, always on standby. Don't encourage you to cite Dr. Wikipedia when you go in and meet your favorite doctor for problems you're having. But peptic ulcer disease, we'll go to the Ivy League, okay? I'm gonna skip past Dr. Wikipedia and we'll go to Dr. Penn and go to the website for Penn Medicine. That's PennMedicine.org, and let's see how they describe PUD, peptic ulcer disease. They call it a rare condition called Zollinger-Ellison syndrome, which causes the stomach and duodenal ulcers. They calls, let's see, come on, pull up here, Dr. Penn Medicine. It must be painful. He must be having a real problem with this. Another outlet says a peptic ulcer is an open sore or raw area in the lining of the stomach or intestine. Doesn't sound very fun. Let's see if we've got John Hopkins account pulled up. Hopkinsmedicine.org is their website. A peptic ulcer is an open sore found on the lining of the stomach or duodenum, the first part of the small intestine. And symptoms of this PUD disease: abdominal discomfort or pain, nausea, pain radiating to the back, burning or gnawing, feeling similar to hunger pains, pain aggravated by meals, and pain relieved by meals. And you can diagnose PUD by a barium contrast radiography, laboratory testing, or gastrointestinal endoscopy. And that's how they can kind of diagnose it. I'm trying to find how they treat it. I assume through medicine, as limiting the production of gastric acid often allows peptic ulcers to heal. The goal of the treatment is to reduce the acid through dietary changes and medications or surgery if necessary. So maybe the boss is just going to be loaded up on some medicine and eat a much healthier diet over the next few months, and then he and his E Street Band can get back out there and rock it out in 2024. Wishing Bruce Springsteen the best as he's off the road for the rest of 2023. Garth Brooks and his bride Trisha Yearwood are going to lead a week-long Habitat for Humanity build for Jimmy Carter. This event is part of the Carter Work Project, which is named for President Jimmy Carter, who celebrates his 99th birthday Sunday. And this is the first build event the Carters haven't been able to attend, when Garth and Trisha will go and help do this. Garth said months ago that this year is going to be one of the busiest years of his career, and between work on his new Nashville bar, a new studio project, which is a box set, and a Las Vegas residency, he's also launched his Sevens radio network. He's now working more than he was on tour, he says. And next week, Garth and Trisha are going to be doing this week-long Habitat for Humanity event as part of the Carter Work Project, and they're going to be doing this in Charlotte, North Carolina. And this is the first build event that the Carters, again, haven't been able to go to because they've been in hospice care. At least Jimmy has been. But he made an appearance last weekend at the Plains Peanut Festival, and he may end up doing something this weekend for his birthday. Garth said that the Carters are all about how to just roof The Carters are all about how just a roof over your head should be a basic human right. President Carter said it best when he said, if you go to sleep with a roof over your head, you are spoiled. Think about that. How lucky we are to go to sleep at night with something over our head that protects us and keeps us warm when it's cold or keeps us cool when it's hot. Everybody should have that right. That from Garth Brooks, talking about what the Carters have done with Habitat for Humanity. So they'll be in Charlotte for the entire week next week, building houses in the Queen City. Back in 2019, Garth and Trisha joined the Carters in Nashville, where they helped build several homes in Music City for Habitat for Humanity. As far as Garth's music, his box set complete with a new studio album will be available somewhere around Christmas, and it will be available only at Bass Pro Shops. It's a 7-disc set. You can pre-order it now. Garth music. You know, Garth does his music completely different than anybody else. He's been all about protecting music from being put out on social media and on YouTube and more, where people can listen to it without paying for it. He's been pushing this since the 90s, and he's had his box sets and more that have been exclusive at places, and his new box set will include his most recent album, Man Against Machine, and got some new music on there too. So check it out, Garth. I don't know if Trisha's got any cuts on there, but they have made some great music together, and they're making great houses together, it appears. In Charlotte next week, they'll be doing that. So now that the writer's strike has ended, late night shows have announced when they will return. So if you're a big fan of Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon or Stephen Colbert of Charleston, South Carolina, or John Oliver, Seth Meyers, I try to avoid all of these shows, frankly. We've got some info that you might want to know about when they're going to start, as it looks like some of these guys are having some fun announcing their return. Oliver, whose late night show comes on to many, they are must see for that. He says, the founding members of Strike Force 5 will return to their network television shows this Monday, October 2nd. Then Bill Maher. Real Time with Bill Maher. Bill Maher will return Friday, so you don't have to wait long at all. The writer's strike started back May 2nd, and it lasted until this week, where they came to a resolution, and now writers going back to work. Look, I don't know why none of these guys did what David Letterman did back in the 80s. I still will not forget how, when he was on NBC, he did his show when they were on strike, and he had a great little skit called Network Time Killers, and I loved it. It was funny, and it didn't require any writing, and it was perfectly fine. And I'm glad that David Letterman, remember that guy, kept his humor going even in a time where writers were AWOL. Hattie McDaniel, the first black actor to win an Oscar, is going to have her missing award replaced by the Academy. Yes, she won the Academy Award for acting in 1939's Gone with the Wind, and at the 12th Academy Awards ceremony in 1940, she was seated separately from the film's other nominees when it was held at the segregated Coconut Grove at the Ambassador Hotel. And now, all these years later, the late actress will posthumously receive her award, and it'll be reinstated to her as Best Supporting Actress for the Academy Award that she won in 1940 for Gone with the Wind. She, again, was the first black actor or actress to win an Oscar. And I guess maybe some family members are more going to be able to join folks and see her be honored. She died way back in 1952. And she bequeathed her Oscar to Howard University, and the award was displayed in Howard's drama department. And then in the late 1960s, its whereabouts went unknown. But thanks to people like Felicia Rashad, who's on the staff there at Howard University, they're going to find a way to get another Oscar to Miss McDaniel, who, even though she had the role of a slave working there at Tara and Gone with the Wind, this woman actually was not even from the South, but boy, she played the role of one of the most famous Southerners ever in Gone with the Wind. Miss Scarlet! Miss Scarlet! Great actress. And sadly, after her 1940 win at the Oscars, it would be another 51 years before another black woman would go on to win an Oscar. And that's when Whoopi Goldberg won for Ghost in 1991. I hated her role in Ghost. As good of a movie as Patrick Swayze had, that whole movie is kind of creepy. Sorry. I know it's a love story, but a creepy movie. Gone with the Wind, though. That's not creepy at all. Miss Scarlet. Keep that in mind as we go through the day. And that wraps up our entertainment news and notes here on this Thursday, Y'all Show. When we come back, we're going to have Hush Puppies on our mind. The website tasteatlas.com has just put out the story, where to eat the best hush puppy in the entire world. And I'm going to tell you if your favorite restaurant made the cut. There are several on here. And so we've got that headed your way as we have our headlines across the Southeast. And of course, you can join us here at the Y'all Show any old time by firing up the old email account, mail@yall.com. Wrapping up the show with Hush Puppy Talk right after this. Four tops for you, that song called Catfish, as we wrap up our number two today. And what goes great with catfish in the South? I would have to say that delicious fried cornmeal concoction that we call Hush Puppies. We go to tasteatlas.com to wrap up hour two in our food spotlight of this Thursday, Y'all Show. And Taste Atlas has an article called Where to Eat the Best Hush Puppy in the World, according to food experts. And this is where it pays off to be a diehard sand lapper, as I am. Because guess what? South Carolina is well represented in this listing of the best hush puppies in the world, as Hyman Seafood in Charleston has made the cut, as well as Leon's Oyster Shop. Also out of the state of South Carolina, Bowens Island. Love me some Bowens Island on the way to Folly Beach. It's on the list of great hush puppies. Hilton Head's Hudson Seafood on the list of a great hush puppy. You reckon they went out of South Carolina to come out with some more options? There are some. Hang on, I'll tell you. Drunken Jack's in Merle's Inlet, not far from Myrtle Beach. It made the cut for best hush puppies. And then, are we out of... Nope, Merle's Inlet's Lee Inlet Kitchen also made the cut. North Carolina, they did go there to find Miller's Waterfront as having wonderful hush puppies. And then also in North Carolina, I discovered that they've got Lexington Barbecue. And I've been to Lexington Barbecue in North Carolina. Fantastic hush puppies that you'll find there. The Big Easy of New Orleans, Pêché Seafood Grill, has wonderful hush puppies, according to this tasteatlas.com article, and also at other places in the Southeast. In Madison, Alabama, been here before, the Old Greenbrier, with their vinegar barbecue sauce there, That is a great place for hush puppies just outside of Huntsville, Old Greenbrier. And then they also have Kansas City's Slaps Barbecue listed as a great hush puppy location. Austin, Texas, Ola May. Texas Monthly recommended this one for their plump hush puppies. St. Louis's Salt and Smoke also made the cut. And that's, again, a listing from this website, tasteatlas.com. The best hush puppy in the world. Why don't you join me and let's go sample all of these great, great creations. Aren't hush puppies one of the best inventions ever? That wraps up hour two. We'll be back with hour three. Gonna have some fun here on the Y'all Show. Take it over there, Four Tops.
Looking for them catfish.
So how would you like to join me this weekend and let's take a road trip to the Fried Chicken Festival? That sounds delicious, doesn't it? Maybe not quite as delicious as heading off to the Sorghum Festival. Or if pecans are more of your style, we got a pecan festival going down in Dixie this weekend. We also have a muscadine festival and an okra strut plus a molasses festival. It's a busy weekend across the 16 southern states when it comes to festivals. And later this hour, I'm going to break it all down as part of our festive South. Welcome into the Y'all Show. It is our final hour of this Thursday edition. And yeah, we'll be telling you about great places you might want to think about hopping in the car or getting on that motor scooter and heading off to this weekend. It's going to be a fun end of September and first day of October here this weekend. We also have a preview of what's up at y'all.com in this final hour of the Y'all Show, powered by y'all.com. And you can join us here on the Y'all Show by emailing us anytime on our email address, mail@yall.com. And then we have our text line available 24/7, 615-208-4184. So great ways for you to reach us here as we broadcast on awesome radio stations and available in podcast form at Spotify, iHeartRadio, the TuneIn app. Plus, we're on Apple Podcast and Apple iTunes. Hundreds of episodes. Love doing it. Thank you for being a part of y'all. We also have our headlines going on here that we'll get to, and just a lot of stuff going on. We're wrapping up not only the month of September, but we're about to get into the fourth quarter of the year. October, November, yeah, the fourth quarter. For some of you in the financial world, that means a big deal with these last few days of the third quarter. Oh, I might have just alarmed some of you like, oh my God, I got to do all this for the third quarter before Sunday arrives. Government, they definitely better get to work, because if they don't get their rear in gear, there's going to be a government shutdown starting Sunday, October 1st. And we've got all that covered here as we start our headlines here for the final hour. So, yes, there is the potential of a government shutdown. And U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy now hinting that they're going to likely have to start from scratch, back to square zero for him, or maybe square one, as Kevin McCarthy is trying to avoid a government shutdown. And he has said that hard right Republicans might have to do what they said they would never do, approve their own temporary House measure to keep the United States government paying its bills and keeping it flowing. Now, the Senate on the other side of the Capitol is marching ahead with a bipartisan approach to prevent a government shutdown. They've already got a plan, but the House, which has a very narrow Republican lead, having a hard time coming up with a solution. According to reports, McCarthy has set up a test vote Friday, one day before the Saturday shutdown deadline, and he set up a test vote on a far-right bill which would slash federal spending by 8% from many agencies and toughen border security, but has been rejected by Democrats and his own right flank Republicans. McCarthy telling reporters that he wants to solve the problem, but he's got this so-called test vote scheduled for Friday. Does that mean that the congressional folks need to get back to D.C.? Some of them have been away from D.C. the last few days. In fact, I think McCarthy sent them away. So they're gonna try to get this thing just across the goal line before the clock runs out, it looks like. Or maybe they won't be able to do it at all. Now, there are a lot of questions about spending. And even McCarthy has talked about what the Senate has already passed over there with a bipartisan bill. And McCarthy's already rejecting that Senate bill because it would fund the government to November 17th, but it would add $6 billion for Ukraine and $6 billion for U.S. disaster relief for places like Hawaii. But he said he would not quit trying. So we'll find out again what happens with the Congress as they're trying to avoid a government shutdown. But if it happens, this seems to be a recurring thing here recently in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure they'll come to some kind of resolution. But they're going to likely need to have a continuing resolution if they're going to get this solved before the weekend. You had the Republican presidential debate number 2 go down Wednesday evening in California. One of the highlights of that debate was Mr. New Jersey governor turned Republican presidential hopeful Chris Christie calling Donald Trump Donald Duck because he says that President Trump ducking out on these debates. That's the reason why he's Donald Duck. It's a pretty neat quip. Now, what did Trump do? He wasn't part of the debate that featured people like Chris Christie, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Burgum of North Dakota, Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, Ron DeSantis, and Tim Scott. I think that's the 7 that were on there. Trump instead went to Michigan, where just the day before, Joe Biden had a bullhorn out and had about 15 people at his effort to try to show that he's all behind the UAW strike against the auto manufacturers. Trump goes there and tries to build a rapport with striking workers too, but people that would be supporting him versus Joe Biden, which would go against UAW leadership. In fact, when Biden was in Wayne, Michigan on Tuesday, he was striking with the head of the UAW. And that guy, the head, spoke pretty good. I mean, he spoke for several minutes with his bullhorn. Biden, you might have gotten about 20 seconds out of that guy. He flew all the way from Washington, D.C. to essentially tell people hello, and then he went away. Embarrassing. Embarrassing, embarrassing, embarrassing. But that's what Trump did. He was in Michigan with some counter-programming to the Republican presidential debate, which was going on at the same time out in California. Some items out of the Lone Star State. A 29-year-old man, Christian Martinez, has now pleaded guilty to smuggling-related charges after a 2022 incident where 53 illegal migrants were found dead in the back of a tractor-trailer truck. And now this 29-year-old man, convicted the first by the government over the tragedy that happened in San Antonio, where a big truck was found on a back road in June of 2022 with 59 dead bodies inside of it. And that dead included 8 children. as it had no air conditioning in the Texas heat when it was pulled over, and just something almost out of the gas chambers day of World War II during the Holocaust. 59 bodies found inside this tractor-trailer truck. These people trying to illegally get into the country and had no idea that they would be in the back of a truck that would lead them to their death in the San Antonio area. Now, one of these guys is going to get justice for that terrible decision. Another Texas story today, also out of San Antonio. U.S. Army soldier Travis King back in America, and he's in San Antonio as he's expected to be going to the Brooke Army Medical Center and be evaluated. This is the soldier that went across the DMZ into North Korea recently. He'd been into some issues with the U.S. Army, and instead of facing the U.S. punishment, he decided to go over to North Korea, and they've expelled the guy. They have expelled him out of North Korea, and now he's back in America, and he's going to have to face the good old UCMJ, the Universal Code of Military Justice, which is a pretty strict and tough system, by the way. And a briefing on Wednesday, senior governmental officials said that the soldier King appeared to be in good health and good spirits and was very happy to be on his way home and closer to reuniting with his family. But he's going to have some time behind bars. I mean, this guy left his post. He abandoned his post. And you don't do that when you're an armed soldier in the United States military. And you sure as heck don't do it, even if you're 23 years old, by running across the border into North Korea. I say, if these people in Washington, D.C. can be behind bars for walking into the Capitol for years, this guy should be in a military jail for a long time. A very long time. If you're a Swiftie, some news out of Taylor Swift world. So over the weekend, she was in Kansas City. She attended her maybe, and that's stretching it there, her maybe boyfriend, her maybe baby. That'd be even better. Her maybe baby, Mr. Kelce, who plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think this is all a publicity stunt, frankly. Got to be. But Travis Kelce plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. And, of course, he and Taylor Swift are BFFs, it appears now. So she was in Arrowhead Stadium for Sunday's Kansas City Chiefs-Chicago Bears football game. A blowout, by the way, for the guys in red. And while Taylor Swift was in the suite with Kelce's mom, she was eating chicken tenders. And then, according to a fan account, she was eating chicken tenders, ketchup, and then, quote, seemingly ranch. So Heinz ketchup, the legendary condiment, has come out with its own gimmick as they're trying to cash in on this Swift craze. And they've combined ranch with ketchup. They've put out 100 bottles of what's called ketchup and seemingly ranch. And I don't know how you can get this. There's only 100 bottles of it. But it's getting them a lot of attention, so much so that earlier this week in New York City, the world-famous Empire State Building lit up in seemingly ranch colors of red and white. And even on their social media accounts, put out ketchup and seemingly ranch in the caption that went along with a picture of the Empire State Building at nighttime lit up in red and white for this bizarre story about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, who did catch a touchdown pass, to his credit, in the ball game. The way Taylor dressed for that game, and the picture I'm seeing here on her own social media account, I'm sorry, Taylor, you might have gone there to cheer on the Kansas City Chiefs and your new guy friend. I won't call him boyfriend, just a friend. But you look like a Hooters waitress, which is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing for Taylor Swift, the sometimes Southern acting lady, but a lot of times she's gone to the left coast and she's gone a little bit leftist on us. But you can find your way back to our hearts if you start talking about chicken tenders, Taylor Swift. Elsewhere in our news headlines today, let's take you to Knoxville, Tennessee. And that is where this week, if you're driving around West Knoxville and other sections of the wonderful East Tennessee town, you might see a celebrity. You might have a big celebrity sighting. And that's because Duck Dynasty has found its way to Knoxville, as they're there this week premiering a new movie called The Blind. And this week, Phil Robertson and other members of his family, including Uncle Si, are in Knoxville to premiere The Blind, which is a drama that depicts the story behind the family's dynasty of duck hunting, especially on patriarch Phil Robertson, his struggles, his family issues, and his conversion to Jesus Christ. And now in Knoxville, they've got the world premiere as it premieres Friday at the Regal Pinnacle Movie Theater in Turkey Creek. And that's going to be a 4 o'clock premiere. Tickets have already sold out. Good news is the Robertson, they've asked fans that wanted to see this new movie to choose three other places. Maybe they're going to go to Bowling Green for a premiere of some type and Fort Worth, Texas. Go to their website. I don't have all the details, but these are good folks. They know they've got a lot of fans. And The Blind is hitting select theaters starting this weekend and the premiere in Knoxville Friday afternoon for the stars of this A&E reality TV series, Duck Dynasty. The reason is, why are they doing it in Knoxville? These are people out of Monroe, Louisiana. Wouldn't you think they'd want to do a world premiere in their own native state? Nothing against Knoxville. Nice town. I've even had my own documentary premiere in Knoxville many years ago. Fun time. Great little theater there in West Knoxville. I don't think that's the same one they're going to. Now, Knoxville is home of some TV networks, and I'm going to pull this up real quick because I should know this stuff as a guy who's worked in network television in the past. But I said that the Duck Dynasty series airs on A&E. Well, A&E's based out of New York City, so that's not the reason. But the Food Network, for example, I know started in Knoxville. Was it Sinclair that owns that? I think I'm right on that. Or maybe HGTV started in Knoxville. So, very successful. I could be wrong with the Food Network. Maybe it was HGTV. They've got a lot of people that have moved over to Knoxville. Yeah, it was definitely HGTV. Scripps Company helped start that back in 1992. And then they've gone on to have offshoots of HGTV throughout the years. I still don't really quite get the whole Phil Robertson going over to Knoxville, but hey, you got to do it somewhere. So again, to all of our East Tennessee listeners, if you see somebody that looks like Uncle Si this week, there's a really good chance that might be him. Go up and get an autograph. I'm a person, funny story about the Duck Dynasty people. I've really never watched that series. I don't watch A&E. Other than that crime thing they do with the first 48 or wherever, I think that airs on A&E, or at least it used to air on A&E. But one time many years ago in the real peak of Duck Dynasty fame, I ended up breaking my glasses. In fact, I'm a guy who not only did I did not watch Duck Dynasty. Right when it was all the craze, I intentionally told people, I'm not watching that. I'm not going to watch that. And I didn't. But at some point during that peak of Duck Dynasty, I broke my glasses. And so I had to go to the local Walmart. and get fitted for a new pair of glasses. And I was looking for the frame that would best fit me, that the one that would look good on me, as most people probably do when they go pick out a new pair of spectacles. And I ended up looking at the rim, the edge of the glasses, and I picked one that looked good, and they put the prescription lenses into it, and I walked out, and all was great. I like the way these things look, fit good. Good pair of glasses. I think I still have them. But one day out of boredom, somebody mentioned to me, oh, Doug Dynasty, and I didn't know what they were talking about. And I had to take my glasses off, and sure enough, the frame that I had bought there at Wally World was a Duck Dynasty brand eyeglass frame, as they had their own eyeglass frames inside Walmarts of the South. And I had no idea. I didn't even pay attention to that when I was choosing those lenses. So I have contributed, I guess you could say, financially to Phil and Uncle Si and all the other people of Duck Dynasty, and I didn't even know it, and would not have done it probably looking back. You know what? I soon found out about another way to get eyeglasses, and it did not involve going into the Walmart eyeglass store. And I do it now online, and I like it that way better. But you got to admit, Duck Dynasty has been quite a powerful show and quite a powerful influencer. And now with a movie coming out called The Blind, just in time, I guess, for duck hunting season, which will be here soon. One other East Tennessee connection to tell you about as we wrap up our news headlines today. Dolly Parton has released a Tennessee Vols theme version of her Rockstar album. And if you go pick up a copy of this, you'll hear Rocky Top. You can pre-order it through Dolly's website. Dolly teaming up with the Tennessee Vols to release this fight song on her new rock album called Rockstar. The album marks her first dive into rock music. And you can get this recording of Rocky Top. The CD release comes just a day after the country star announced a new line of Tennessee Vols themed merchandise. What's going on with Dolly Parton? I've never known her to be a sports fan at all. And here we go with her jumping into the Tennessee bandwagon. Hey, Dolly, you might want to be told. I mean, we had Kiefer on earlier today. And he says that Tennessee football is not as good this year as it was in 2022. Now, Tennessee's already got a loss, which is one thing they didn't have this time last year. They got hammered by the Florida Gators. And Kiefer, in hour one, if you missed it, especially Vols fan, if you want to go back and hear it for yourself, Kiefer outlined in hour one that they're going to have a struggle against the Gamecocks coming into Neyland Stadium this weekend. So I don't know if we're going to have a victory by the home team at Neyland Stadium this week, according to Kiefer. That's what he says. But, yeah, it looks like a new version of Rocky Top coming in from Dolly Parton. And I can't find the one that's actually on this album, but as we go to break here, I'm going to play a little sample of what I found called Dolly Parton Rocky Top Live and Well Audio. I have not heard this, so I can't vouch for how good or bad she does, but usually if Dolly does something, it's pretty darn good. So let's go to break here with Dolly and come back. When we come back, we're going to talk about some festivals going on across the Southeast. Does that sound like a good plan? Yeehaw! little Rocky Top from Dolly, y'all. We'll be right back.
Get their corn from a jar. Oh, Rocky Top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top, Rocky Top, Tennessee. Rocky Top, Tennessee.
It's a cold, cold moon out tonight, and it's a cold, cold point on your knife. Could I call myself a man if I left by the morning line. And I'd be 40 miles from Denver when you woke up all alone. I'd be 40 miles from Denver and 3 days from my home. In that cool mountain air on an Appalachian trail. Is better there.
Oh, the sounds of the Yonder Mountain String Band bringing us back from break. This is the Y'all Show, and you'll be able to hear Yonder Mountain String Band in action Saturday if you make your way to Annapolis, the capital city of the state of Maryland, because at the Annapolis Baygrass Festival this weekend, you'll hear them, the Yonder Mountain String Band, alongside Railroad Earth, Keller and the Keels, John Stickley Trio, Lindsay Liu, Dirty Grass Players, as well as Geraldine, also Melvin Seals and JGB, Cabinet, Chris Jacobs and Smooth Kentucky, and a whole bunch of other acts. They're all part of the Annapolis Baygrass Festival, and that's this weekend. The Baygrass Music Festival is a conservation-focused musical event that goes on to help save the Chesapeake Bay, as it blends the finest progressive bluegrass music with a gorgeous beachfront venue in Annapolis. Again, 14 top touring bands coming to Annapolis this weekend. 2 stages over 2 days, and it will be going down all weekend. It will be food vendors and activities for people of all ages at the Annapolis Baygrass Festival with headliner Yonder Mountain String Band. And that's this weekend. In the capital city, in the home, capital city of Maryland, in the home of the United States Naval Academy. Go Navy, beat Army. All right, we're going to continue on with other great events going on across the Southeast today as part of our Festive South. So you got lots of great music going down in the state of Maryland. How about what's going on in the state of Florida this weekend in St. Augustine? It's the Pumpkin Festival, and that's at the Wesley Wells Farm on Ada Arnold Road, Pumpkin Festival in that historic city of St. Augustine. Pinson, Alabama this weekend, it's the Alabama Butterbean Festival. That's happening this weekend in Pinson, which is in the Birmingham area. So add that one to your planner, especially if you're a big fan of butterbeans. Now, one thing that butterbeans go well with, fried chicken. And this weekend at the New Orleans Lakefront Airport, it's the National Fried Chicken Festival in New Orleans. I think I'm canceling all my plans and heading to the Big Easy for that one. Because nothing says Southern like fried chicken, right? How about from the opposite of a chicken is a turkey? And this weekend in Eldon, Missouri, it's the Eldon Turkey Festival. And that's taking place all day Saturday. Now, where the heck is Eldon, Missouri? It's smack dab in the middle of the state. It is in Miller County, and that's about 30 miles southwest of the state capital of Jefferson City is where you'll find Eldon, Missouri. And go have yourself a great time this weekend with the Eldon Turkey Festival. In East Tennessee this weekend in Soddy Daisy, it's the Soddy Daisy Fall Festival, and that's taking place at the Municipal Park right there along the banks of the Tennessee River north of Chattanooga. And that's all day Saturday afternoon, or all Saturday afternoon, in SDTN, Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, their fall festival going down this weekend. Just outside of the nation's capital in Manassas, Virginia, it's the Manassas Latino Festival, and that's taking place all day Saturday at the Harris Pavilion on Center Street. So if you're a fan or part of the Latino culture in Manassas, you can get your Latino on with the Manassas Latino Festival here this weekend. The Muscadine Festival is taking place in Kenansville, North Carolina this weekend, and that's all day Saturday at the Duplin Arts Center in this great little city of Eastern North Carolina is where you'll find Kenansville, North Carolina. Muscadines, is it that time of year that those things are now readily available? I guess so. And this again is in the town of Kenansville, North Carolina. Now, I had to look up who James Keenan was. James Keenan lived from 1740 to 1810, the namesake of Kenansville, North Carolina, there in that section of Eastern North Carolina. James Keenan was a military officer and politician who served as a brigadier general of the Wilmington District Brigade during the American Revolution. So he was a patriot. And he was a commander of the North Carolina militia after the American Revolution, and then got involved in politics in North Carolina, serving 10 terms as a state senator. And when you do all that, people like James Keenan get a town named after him, and that's why you have Keenansville, spelled K-E-N-A-N-S-V-I-L-L-E. Keenansville, North Carolina, in the eastern section of that great southern state. And this weekend, you can go there and enjoy a salute to Muscadines at the North Carolina Muscadine Festival. Elsewhere across the South this weekend, you've got in the state of Arkansas. Let's head over to Hot Springs. This weekend, it's the Big Steam Blues and Roots Music Festival. And that's taking place at the Hill Wheatley Downtowner Motor Inn on Central Avenue in the lovely village of Hot Springs, Arkansas. A little blues and roots music being celebrated, and a really cool place to go to, Hot Springs, Arkansas. To Springfield, Kentucky we head, and sorghum is the featured festival for that town. It's the Sorghum Festival 2023 going down at the Springfield, Washington County Chamber of Commerce on Main Street in Springfield, Kentucky. That's Friday and Saturday, sorghum being celebrated in Springfield. Sorghum, by the way, also known as broom corn, it is a genus of about 25 species of flowering plants in the grass family, and one of the varieties is widely cultivated across the country and across the world, really more in Asia than it is here in this country now. But they are used, sorghum is used as cereals for human consumption. It's used in pastures for animals, and you can even use sorghum to help make brooms. So sorghum has a variety of uses and used throughout many sections of the world. This weekend in Springfield, Kentucky, sorghum going to be saluted in a big way. So get your sorghum salute on if you can make it to Kentucky this weekend. Beaumont, Mississippi this weekend. It's the Mississippi Pecan Festival. And that starts Saturday and Sunday. And really, I want you to go Sunday right after, I guess, church, because that's where at Fulmer's General Store, there'll be some really big parts of the Mississippi Pecan Festival in Beaumont, Mississippi. Now, where the heck is Beaumont? You know where Beaumont? I know where the one in Texas is, but what about the one in Mississippi? Beaumont is in Perry County, and that's part of the Hattiesburg metro area in South Mississippi. It's located on the edge of the DeSoto National Forest. Population of Beaumont, Mississippi, 951. And I told y'all earlier today, when I was bragging about Beaumont, Mississippi, I wondered just who the heck might be from Beaumont, Mississippi, of fame, if there is anyone. And I don't know the answer, so I'm going to go to my trusted source here to see if I can't educate y'all on Beaumont's famous people who may come from that little town in Perry County, Mississippi. And, you know, I'm trying to think. I just went through that area a few months back on the way to the beach. U.S. 49, I believe, is what goes near there. I don't know if it goes to there or not. As far as famous people from Beaumont, Mississippi, how about Tristan Jackson, a former football player in the CFL, Canadian Football League, and then a former cornerback in the NFL, Brandon Summerall, also from Beaumont, Mississippi. He played his college football just down the road at Southern Miss, a Golden Eagle. And Brandon Summerall played most notably for the, well, he really never made it to I guess he got a little love playing in some practice. He was on the practice squad of a bunch of NFL teams. But his team he played for the most was a team called the Las Vegas Locomotives of the United Football League. I don't remember them. So Beaumont needs to step up its game on famous people. I was hoping for somebody really, really, really big there, but couldn't find anybody on that search there. But there's still time. Hey, you don't need famous people when you're the home of the Mississippi Pecan Festival. And that's what's going down this weekend in Beaumont, Mississippi. Let me pull up the map here to see exactly if you're traveling. I'm sorry, it's not on US 49, it's on US 98. And you know what? Sadly, I have been through Beaumont. I didn't even know it. You have to go through Beaumont on your way from Hattiesburg to Mobile. It's on US 98. It's looking at a map of Mississippi. Beaumont is about halfway between Hattiesburg and Loosedale, Mississippi, in that not so populated county of Perry County in Mississippi. It's not far from McLean. It's just down the road from New Augusta, Mississippi. Okay, so giving you plenty of knowledge that you probably weren't counting on here on today's Y'all Show, telling you about Perry County, Mississippi. All right, elsewhere, what's going on across the Southeast this weekend? In Augusta, Georgia, it's the Westaboo Festival in Augusta. Westaboo is a nonprofit arts organization dedicated to enriching the cultural fabric of Augusta's river region. And this organization provides artists with opportunities to create a community to enjoy their work. The website for them is westobou.org. Westaboo.org, I think is how you pronounce it. And they have an awesome place. They're kind of headquartered there in downtown Augusta. They're in a building built in 1916. 1129 Broad Street is the location. And there you'll find a building that's got high ceilings with some fancy millwork with large front windows. And the upper floors of the gallery there are available, and you can see lots of great artwork again at this nonprofit arts organization, Westaboo. And this weekend, they have their festival in downtown Augusta, Georgia. It actually goes up until Tuesday of this coming week, the Westaboo Festival in the CSRA of Georgia. I want to let you know that also, in addition to some arts to tell you about here for this weekend, you can go to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. There you'll find the Broken Arrow Rose Festival, and that's in the Rose District of Broken Arrow this weekend. Sounds delicious. In Stephenville, Texas, the home of the Tarleton State University, this weekend, Stephenville is hosting Rhymes and Vines Texas Music Festival at Melody Mountain Ranch. Melody Mountain Ranch on Private Road 707 is where you'll find the Rhymes and Vines Texas Music Festival in Stephenville. Stephenville, among several communities that call themselves the cowboy capital of the world. And that's happening this weekend, Rhymes and Vines. In Arnoldsburg, West Virginia, at the Arnoldsburg Community Center this weekend, it is the 56th annual Molasses Festival. In the mountain state of West Virginia, you can go enjoy lots of molasses in Arnoldsburg. That does sound delicious, but maybe not quite as delicious as what you'll find in the hometown of the great TV personality Lisa Gibbons. This weekend in Irmo, South Carolina, sort of kind of the hometown of Dustin Johnson of golf fame too, Irmo, S-C-I-R-M-O, it is the home of the annual Irmo Okra Strut. And this weekend, right smack dab in the middle of Irmo on Church Street, you'll have the big festivities going down for the Irmo Okra Strut just outside of Columbia, SC, just down the road from the General's hometown. You got okra being celebrated in a big way in Irmo, South Carolina. And that concludes. Yep, I'm double checking to make sure we got all our festivals covered here. And I do believe we have done it. Yes, so that's a lot of stuff here to consider. We got okra. We got molasses. We got pecans. We have muscadines. And I don't want to leave out fried chicken and sorghum too being celebrated all this weekend. It's a busy end of September across the Southeast with our many, many festivals going down. And so if, again, you're looking for something fun to do, go to places like Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. Go to places like Manassas, Virginia, or to Eldon, Missouri, or that wonderful little place I was bragging about in South Mississippi, Beaumont. Come on, what else you got to do? Yard chores? You don't even have to go out and rake leaves at this point. Now, that'll be coming pretty soon. And you probably don't even have to cut the grass this weekend. So, yes, please go have a great time at one of these great southern festivals this weekend as we bring September to a close and welcome in the month of October on Sunday. That's our Festive South. Get out and enjoy the South. Get out in the South is what our mantra should be for this segment each and every week. When we come back on the Y'all Show, we're going to close out this Thursday edition with a look at a brand new story that has just hit y'all.com, and it's got to do with fishing. Oh, yeah. Get your hook out and enjoy as we conclude our Thursday edition. Helping us empty the tank here on this Thursday edition. I want to invite you to go to y'all.com, which powers this show each and every day with some awesome stories that we've just posted. Martin Brooks has the new article, The Best Fishing Destinations in the South, What Different Areas Are Known For. And if you go there, you'll read all about Lake Fork, Texas, as well as Pickwick Lake in Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Bullock Pen Lake in Kentucky, the bayous of Louisiana. He's also got some other awesome destinations that you can read all about in this article about fishing at y'all.com, the South's homepage. It's brand new. It's posted there now, and it's free of charge to look at. Yeah. That wraps up Thursday's show. We'll be back here Friday for more fun. John Rawl signing off. Have a great rest of your day.